Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Well, 15, sorry. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, what is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I want to talk about. Paul, a great preacher. Paul has preached in Tarsus, where he was born. Paul has preached in Jerusalem, the holy city. Paul has preached in Damascus, the world's oldest city. Paul has preached in Antioch, that golden city. Paul has preached in Ephesus, the city where the great temple of Diana is. He's preached all in Athens, the city of the mind, and where the home of the great philosophers. Paul has preached all over the known world, but he has never had the opportunity to preach at Rome. And every time that he would decide that he was going to go preach at Rome, something would happen. And something would happen. It's not a matter that you know, for Paul, it wasn't a matter that something happened that, you know, his family member, his brother or somebody would get sick or whatever and he couldn't go and he had to take care. No, when Paul, something happened, that means he would be in jail. He'd be preaching the gospel in Athens and all these other places. And when he decided he's going to Rome, somebody would arrest him. And he is in Corinth when he wrote this letter saying that I'm really ready to come preach for you. But he had been saying that so much, the people in Rome thought that Paul was afraid to come. Rome was this great, known as the Eternal City. With all of its military might and its military power. Some of you have traveled around the world. You've been to Ephesus and you've been to Corinth. And you can still see the remains of the Roman roads. How many of you know what one of the things that made Rome great was the roads? And they were able to travel all over the area and send their military might. And you can still see the remains. And just this year, Barbara and I were in Rome. And we went to the Colosseum. And the great Colosseum still stands there where the gladiators used to be and where they used to throw Christians to the lions. You remember seeing that on TV? Rome was this great city, but it was also an evil, and they had the great temples, and they worshiped their gods of Caesar. Caesar was the god of Rome, because they had all of this power. And there were the Christian, there was a small Christian community in Rome. In the ghettos of Rome, Christianity was not the world religion that it is now. It was just a handful of people, and they were hiding out worshiping, because if they worshiped openly in Rome during that time, they would be arrested and thrown to the lions. So people felt that Paul was really afraid to come to preach the gospel in Rome. Paul says, listen, I'm ready. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, listen, there are some things that I am ashamed of. I'm ashamed that I persecuted the church. I'm ashamed that I did not stand up for the gospel early on. But when Christ came into my life, I changed. Anybody in here, don't raise your hand, but have you ever done anything that you're ashamed of? I've done some things that I'm ashamed of, you know. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes church people don't come to church not for something that they have done. Sometimes they don't come to church because of something their kids did or something that their spouse did. point is, the church, let me see if I can make this plain. You know, sometimes, you know, early on in our churches and in this church and other churches, we're always talking about people's sins. You know, liars, fornicators, tax cheats, people who abuse their kids. I mean, on Mother's Day, we get up and we talk about it. All mothers are just great. All mothers ain't great. There's some mothers who are lousy mothers. They abuse their kids. They dump their kids off with their grandparents. They did all kinds of stuff. Now, gracious, there are some great mothers, but don't put everybody in this great Mother's Day virtuous woman thing. It makes me sick. Everybody ain't no virtuous woman. And then we want to demonize all the men that we're all dogs. All of us ain't dogs. Just like all women ain't virtuous. That's just an aside. I gave you that free. But the point is, when we come to church, we want to lift up everybody's sin. That everybody, and people say, listen, I am so sick of going to hear Reverend so-and-so, and all he does is talk about my sins and talk about how bad I am. But the reason we lift up the sin is not to point out your sin again over and over, but there's somebody out there who's stuck in your sin, and they don't see their way out, and we want you to be here to say, listen, I'm a living witness. I used to be like you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation unto God. That's why we talk about sin. We're not here just putting your sin on the screen. But one day, somebody preached a sermon through the foolishness of the gospel that reached your mind and reached your heart. And you've heard, you know, how many of you know it's all about timing? You know, as long as you're feeling all good, you know, have you ever felt good in your sin? Yes, you have. You know, like, hey, let's go to church and hear the choir sing, you clap my hand. Go, weren't they good today? They were good. But some of us, it was like the songs were a spiritual mercuricone. We just want something to numb the pain. But we don't plan to change at all. But sometimes in life, you can get so miserable and so low down in your spirit and so depressed and so suicidal and so unhappy. And you go to church on that Sunday and Reverend Dr. whoever is up here preaching, and it touches your mind and it touches your heart. And you say, I got to change, because if I don't change, I'm going to blow my own brains out. And I decided that it's the gospel. It's the gospel that helps us to change. And Paul says, y'all think that I'm afraid to go to Rome. You think I'm afraid of the power of the legion army of Rome. You think I'm afraid of being thrown in jail. Paul said, look at my life. Man, I've been in jail more than all of y'all. I'm not afraid of no jail, because I know of another power. I know of a power that is able to change your heart. I know of a power that is able to set you free on the inside. You know, one of the things and one of the reasons that I like T.D. Jakes, T.D. Jakes, he doesn't get into the, you know, the civil rights stuff too much. He doesn't get into, you know, fighting with the Republicans or fighting with the Democrats. But what he does do, he gets into the psychological, you know, loose him, loose her. He gets into that internal stuff that you and I wrestle with. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He gets into the bondage that got you tied up in a knot on the inside, and You look good on the outside. Got nice dress and nice hairdo and nice nails and nice 3-inch heels. And you look real good on the outside, but you just miserable on the inside. And I like the fact that Jake's deals with what's going on the inside. And you know what it is? It's psychology, but it's not just psychology. It is, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that sets us free from the bondage that we live with every single day. And I want you to know, whatever you're going through is possible for you to be set free. That man is about to drive you crazy. The Lord can set you free. You can forget about the rascal in time. Or that woman that took you through changes, took your child support and blew it on new dresses and new cars and didn't go to the kids. I'm just saying. Walking around with diamonds and you walking around don't even have bus fare. You know, I'm preaching the other side now because I've been here 30 years, you know. The first year I would have been preaching the woman's side, but now I'm preaching the truth. That's the truth will set you free. And it's both sides. Do I have a witness? It's both sides. I'm not trying to demonize women. I'm not trying to make men saints. But I'm talking about there's some stuff that happens that's got us locked up on the inside. And it's the power of the gospel that can set you free and make you new creatures in Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Christ. First thing, I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed that he came in a stable. I like that. I'm not ashamed that he came through the womb of a poor woman. I like that. I'm not ashamed that the Holy Spirit was his father. I like that. I'm not ashamed that his birth was unusual. And through his birth, with the Holy being conceived of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, that he was able to become the Redeemer of all men. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that the reason that he came was to die for my sins. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the miracles that he performed, that he was able to walk on the sea just as he was walking on land. I'm not ashamed that he was able to bring Lazarus back to life. I'm not ashamed that he was able to die and be raised with all power in his hand. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that he had me in mind and you in mind and my sinfulness and your sinfulness, and that he was willing to shed his blood on Calvary's cross that you and I might have a second chance to eternal. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that he came by and he healed the blind and he unstopped deaf ears. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that he was a friend to the friendless and a father to the... I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad that he was a father to the fatherless, because I didn't know my father until I was 45 years. There's somebody else in here. You ought to shout that he was a father to the fatherless. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that he's my example. You know, there's sometimes when people don't read the word, sometimes they just need an example, somebody to live the word. I'm not ashamed that he was my friend. I'm not ashamed that he was my example. I'm not ashamed that he was my peace. But you know, sometimes people will accept Christ. You know, people say, well, you know, he had good character. He was a good man. Even people of other religions will say that. But I don't know about you, but I need more than somebody with good character. A whole lot of people got good character. I need a savior. I I need someone that will see me and love me in my stuff and die for me, to wash me in the precious blood of the Lamb, and that if I will confess my sins, that he will forgive me. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ, why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is because it's the good news of Christ. It's the good news that my sins have been forgiven. Look at somebody and say, my sin's been forgiven. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You don't have to like me. You might know my stuff. But baby, I've been forgiven. And I thank God that I've been forgiven. And not only have I been forgiven, I've been set free. I've been delivered. I've been pardoned. I've been made clean. I've been washed. And I'm a new creature in Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I'm not a, why should I be ashamed of the gospel? You know, we live in this time now when, you know, there's some people that, and I sometimes think that I don't preach the simple gospel enough. That's what the Lord been telling me. You know, just go back to the basics. Just preach salvation. Just preach that you were sinners. Just preach that you've been saved. Just preach that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They may not want to hear it. Preach it anyhow, Jackson, because it is the wages of sin that is death. So I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. You know, I tell you sometimes, you know, that my sons, probably my daughter too, when it comes to sports, Michael don't say anything, but if I start trying to talk sports, he just sort of. I don't even know who's in the Super Bowl or close to being in the Super Bowl. That's how bad I am. I said to Reverend Hill, who's in the Super Bowl? She said, well, I don't think it's determined yet. But I hope to God that he's not, and they're not ashamed of my relationship with Christ. I hope that they've seen something in my walk over the years. I hope that they've seen something that says he can't talk about sports and football, but he can talk about the salvific relationship of Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross. And he's not ashamed to talk in the presence of Barack Obama. He's not ashamed to talk wherever he goes about what Jesus and who Jesus is to him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And not only that, I'm not ashamed of what he's done, but I'm also not ashamed of what he's going to do. I believe he's coming back again. Do I have a witness in the house? I believe he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I believe that I have a crown somewhere. I believe that the Lord will make a way in my life. I believe, lift up your bow down here. Whatever is going on in your life, the Lord can bring. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save a wretch like you and me to the utmost. To the utmost. He will pick you up. Turn you around. That's my hope. That's my dream. That's my belief. That no matter what you're going through, the Lord is able. He's able to save. He saves not because you're smart, not because you got a PhD. He saves because you one day confess your sins. He saves because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He saves because that's what he came to do. He didn't come to have a party. He came to die. And he died for your sins. And he died for my sins. And every now and then when I think about it and you think about it, we ought to praise him. We ought to worship him. We ought to give him thanks. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? We'd be dead and sleeping in our grave. But thanks be to God. He loved us while we were yet in our sins. And he came, and then he got up. He got up. With all power. I got it right here. He got up with all power in his hand. So the good news today, I don't want you to go out of here thinking he was beating me up about my sin. I'm just tired of going to these churches, and all they do is talk about sin. No. I'm talking about the good news. The good news is you are forgiven. The good news is you're not locked into your yesterday. The good news is I don't care if you've been a drug addict, you're not locked in. I don't care if you've been to prison, you're not locked in. The good news is there's a way out and there's a way through. Jesus is the way. Do I have a witness? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Not Reverend Jackson, not T.D. Jakes, not Barack Obama. Jesus is a lily of the valley. The bright and the morning star. Jesus is a Ferris of 10,000. Jesus is the King of kings. Jesus is the Lord of lords. Jesus is the Prince of priests. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Jesus is the Lord of lords. Jesus is my savior. Jesus is my redeemer. Jesus is my warrior. Jesus. Amen.